Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Walter Danesi, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, January 20, 2026. We'll have the artist of the day, which is Atahualpa Yupanqui. We'll be also sharing a piece on the 1978 World Cup, the first won by Argentina. And we'll have the DX supplement of every week, all of that intermingled with Argentine music. Argentine slash American music in one case, because we're going to be marking an anniversary related to an American musician linked to an Argentine musician. That's why we are playing that. A lot of mystery, but stay tuned and find out whom I'm talking about. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA, okay? This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI. The frequency is 5,850 kHz, and we are also streaming through our webpage rae.com.ar plus our app for mobile devices, Digital RAE, that you can download for free. Okay, let's get started now with a track by Divididos. This is from their third album, released in 1993. One of the greatest rock albums ever made in Argentina, called La Era de la Boludez, The Age of Stupidity would be in Argentine slang, and it's filled with classics, very heavy, straight rock. This is one of the tracks included in the album, Paisano de Hurlingham, Hurlingham Countryman, Divididos.
Yeah. RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向 世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE.
Considered the most important figure in Argentine folklore, Héctor Roberto Chavero was born in Pergamino, province of Buenos Aires, in 1908. Since his early childhood, he decided to call himself Atahualpa Yupanqui, in honor of the Inca blood running in his veins. Atahualpa, besides being the name of the last Inca emperor, refers in the Quechua language, together with Yupanqui, to the one who comes from far off lands to tell us something. Atahualpa grew up in the countryside. He was a good observer, reserved like a real countryman. Faithful narrator of the mysteries of the earth, man, and the rural landscape were the topics of his extensive work, which covers not only the music, but also literature and the movies. An essential figure of the Argentine folklore, he recalls his beginning with the guitar.
Bautista Almirón, mi viejo profesor de guitarra, cuando yo tenía 9 años, 10, que mis padres me recomendaron.
Atahualpa told us that he started studying guitar when he was around 10. Since there was not any teacher of violin, his parents sent him to study the guitar with a teacher who lived in the nearest locality, Junín, some 20 kilometers away. He had to travel that distance generally on horseback. Every time he had a lesson, he paid, doing some gardening.
La estación Roca. Se llamaban Fortín Federación porque era una defensa contra los indios en otro tiempo.
That one was his only teacher. Thank you. He was not 20 yet when he composed Camino del Indio, the Indian Road. Shortly afterwards, he set out on a trip to Jujuy, Bolivia, and the Calchaquí valleys, and he never stopped traveling. He considered himself a wanderer, a stroller, a pilgrim. To support himself during his youth, he did different jobs, while at the same time he composed. And wherever he went, he took his music with him. And whatever place he got to know was a source of inspiration. Sometimes temporary places, but his mind kept them all. And these registers were the elements of a new work. He felt a moral obligation, his mission. He said he had to prevent things from vanishing and disappearing. In 1943, Atahualpa presented Stone and Road, maybe the most important piece composed until that time. A modern, disruptive zamba with much elaborated lyrics. Atahualpa offers us the illusion of a tradition bearing both invention and inheritance. In 1945, Atahualpa Yupanqui registered with the Communist Party. He kept his filiation till 1952, and his critical attitude of the Peronist government imposed on him a forced silence during all those years in his own country. His performances were banned. He could not work, and his recordings were interrupted from 1947 to 1953. Thank you. Shortly before being censored in 1944, he recorded El Arriero, the Cowboy, a piece he himself defined as slightly social, but which was signaled by the critics as a prodigy, a milestone, the beginning of a new social folklore. As a matter of fact, Yupanqui is considered the forerunner of the Latin American songwriter, the one that reunites authorship, composition, and performance in only one person. He comes before Victor Jara, Chabuca Granda, and Silvio Rodríguez, and all of them would later recognize they were influenced by Yupanqui.
Las arenas bailan los remolinos, el sol juega en el brillo del pedregal, y prendido a la magia de los caminos, el arriero va, el arriero va. Es bandera de niebla su poncho al viento, lo saludan las flautas del pajonal, y animando a la tropa por esos cerros, el arriero va, el arriero va. Las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Cuello de soles muestra la tarde, se han dormido las luces del pedregal, y animando a la tropa, dale que dale, el arriero va, el arriero va. Amalaya la noche traiga recuerdo, que hagan menos pesada la soledad, como sombra en la sombra por esos cerros, el arriero va, el arriero va. Las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda, las penas y las vaquitas se van por la misma senda. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Las penas son de nosotros, las vaquitas son ajenas. Y prendido a la magia de los caminos, el arriero va, el arriero va.
Therefore, condemned by the Peronist government, he started traveling to Europe regularly, going on long trips during which he would obtain exceptional recognition. In 1949, he performed in different countries of the communist orbit: Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, and Bulgaria. He then settled in Paris, where he got acquainted with different artists and intellectuals of the time. He met Edith Piaf, who remained impressed by his art and invited him to take part in her own recitals before the French public, where he obtained a sweeping success. And he recalls these years in an interview, Don Atta.
Yo tenía amistad con Paul Éluard, entre poetas, y un día me dijo, mañana no tomes compromiso,
Atahualpa said that in Paris he was introduced to Edith Piaf, who upon hearing him play, told him that Paris couldn't be deprived of his music. Piaf herself hired a theater room, had the advertising signs printed, and introduced him before the public. It was a time of glory. He became a learned man, traveled through Spain and Japan. Contracts were by the thousands. And the paradox was that in Argentina, he was still banned, because he continued being considered an old communist. And Atahualpa continued coming and going, always bringing something to tell about those far-off lands. And although he never stopped, he chose the Cerro Colorado spot in Córdoba as his place of residence. He returned there whenever he could, and he asked to be buried there under the shade of an oak tree he himself had planted. Atahualpa Yupanqui died at the age of 84 in 1992. He left over 300 songs and more than a dozen books.
Aquí canta un caminante que muy mucho ha caminado y ahora vive tranquilo y en el Cerro Colorado. Largo mis coplas al viento por donde quiera que voy. Soy árbol lleno de frutos como plantita de mistol. Cuando ensillo mi caballo me largo por las arenas y en la mitad del camino ya me he olvidado de las penas. Caminiaga Santa Elena, el Yurqui rayo cortado. No hay pago como mi pago, vive el Cerro Colorado.
El camino, yo creo que se compone de infinitas.
The road is full of stops that make it so positive and beautiful.
Cuando el amor me hizo señas, todo entero me encendí. Cuando el amor me hizo señas, todo entero me encendí. Le tengo rabia al silencio, por lo mucho que perdí. Que no se quede callado quien quiera vivir feliz.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mondo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
We're going to now pay homage to Jerry Mulligan. That's the American musician I was talking about at the beginning of today's program. And obviously he's a world celebrity, was, you know. He passed away exactly 30 years ago on January 20, 1996. And that's why we are paying homage to him. Here in Argentina, in addition to his own merit and career, he's also known for collaborating with our very own Astor Piazzolla in the early 1970s. They came together, they were two of the most notorious figures in what was then known as world music, even though Jerry was a jazz saxophonist and Piazzolla was a tango musician. they play some kind of contemporary music that really went along together pretty well. So it made sense that they collaborated to record something together, and they did. An album called Summit, known here in Argentina as Reunión Cumbre, recorded by an Italian label and released in the year 1974. From that album, in order to pay our respects to the memory of Jerry Mulligan, who died exactly 30 years ago, we're going to play, I think this is the most, or one of the most important tracks in that album, Years of Solitude, Años de Soledad, written by Astor Piazzolla, but played by Astor Piazzolla and Jerry Mulligan.
Thank you.
Argentine 面向世界。
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
La Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
We bring you now the DX Supplement, Actualidad de X, that is produced by Arnaldo Sly in our weekly space for DXers with information for them and also any news from the world of broadcasting that we think are worthy of being shared with you guys out there. Our reports are gathered from the monthly findings of the AER, the Spanish Association of Radio Listeners.Before we begin, a quick technical reminder. All frequencies are given in kilohertz and all times are in UTC, Coordinated Universal Time. Let's begin with Mali and China. For those looking to verify a signal from Mali, you can currently tune into China Radio International, CRI, broadcasting from Bamako, the capital city.For English listeners, CRI broadcasts from this location at the following times. 1430 through 1557 UTC on 13,685 and 17,630 kHz. And also 20 through 2127 UTC time on 11,640 kHz and 13,630 kHz. All programs are beamed towards the African continent.If you wish to send a reception report, the English department can be reached at crienglish@cri.com.cn. United States now. Following its return to the shortwaves last July, Radio Martí continues daily broadcast towards Cuba from Mondays to Fridays. You can find the signal between 1400 and 2200 hours UTC time on 11,860 kHz, 11,930 and 13,605 kHz, transmitting from Greenville.Spain now. Radio Exterior de España has expanded its international reach with a new half-hour broadcast in Mandarin, airing Mondays at 20:30 UTC on various frequencies, including 15,390 and 17,715 kHz. For our English-speaking audience, REE, Spain's International Radio, maintains a dedicated English service to keep you informed about Spanish news and culture. You can find the full schedule of English broadcasts on their official website, www.rtve.es. Nigeria now. Official reports from the Nigerian government indicate that repairs have begun on two major shortwave transmitters,For Voice of Nigeria, VON. The project aims to restore the 250 kilowatt transmitters at the Lugbe station in Abuja, which have been inactive for several years. Officials state this restoration will strengthen Nigeria's international presence and amplify the country's voice across Africa and beyond.Historically, these transmitters operated on 7,255 and 11,770 kHz. Next, the Vatican. The Dicastery for Communication recently held its traditional Christmas gathering at the Pius Hall, a moment used to honor those who broadcast the Pope's message through Vatican Radio.This year was particularly special as the English and French programs were honored alongside the Spanish section for their respective anniversaries. The English service continues to be a vital pillar for the station, reaching millions of listeners worldwide. Back to Spain, Radio Nacional de España officially shut down its medium wave AM signals during the early hours of December 30, 2025, after nearly 90 years of service.The station is transitioning to more efficient and higher quality platforms. Listeners can now find RNE through several digital alternatives. FM and DAB+, offering superior sound quality and stability. RNE audio app, available for Android and iOS, providing live streams and on-demand podcasts, and web streaming accessible globally via computers, tablets, and smart speakers. This move follows a growing European trend to reduce electromagnetic pollution and energy consumption associated with all AM transmitters. And finally, Qatar. The Qatar Media Corporation recently participated in the 45th General Assembly of the Arab States Broadcasting Union in Tunisia. The meetings focused on strengthening media cooperation and following technological transformations in the Arab media landscape. Qatar remains committed to developing professional and technological tools to improve regional content and international partnerships. And that puts an end to this week's edition of the DX Supplement, produced by Arnaldo Slain. Kain 73s.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界。
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Okay, let us play now a little bit of northern music. Northern, from the point of view of Buenos Aires, and northern in Argentina. This is the Andean music of Jujuy, Salta, that area over there to the north of where we are now. That's why we call that northern music, even though to anyone listening to us north of the equator will be southern music. Okay, notes aside, this is Carnavalito Llaveño by Tomás Lipán, and after that we'll have a feature on the 1978 World Cup.
Bien, haya Carnavalito. Pegajoso pa' cantar,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Carnavalito llaveño,
ay llaveña.
Alegroso para bailar,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Y aquí había sido tu casa,
ay llaveña.
Aquí nos alegraremos,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Sacando coplas pa' afuera,
ay, ya veña.
El carnaval cantaremos,
quizás ya veña tenga sueño.
A mi caminito allá vi,
ay, ya veña.
Voy a mandarlo a empedrar,
quizás ya veña tenga sueño.
Pa' que pase mi vidita,
ay, ya veña.
Calladita y sin llorar,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Verbenita de mi tierra,
ay, ya venga.
Aquí canta un sanzaneño,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Enamorarte quisiera,
ay, ya venga.
Ya veñita de mis sueños,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Canten señores cantores,
ay, llaveña.
Los que son de la llaveña,
quizás llaveña tenga sueño.
Vamos sacando las coplas,
ay, llaveña.
Dejando todas las penas,
quizás llaveña tenga sueño.
Cantores de la frontera,
ay, llaveña.
La que acá guilla son,
quizás ya venga tenga sueño.
Les dejo
después de haber cantado.
Ay, ya bella,
daremos la despedida.
Quizás ya bella tenga sueño.
A Sansana de la entrada.
Ay, ya bella,
ya vi chico la salida.
Quizás ya bella tenga sueño.
Ya nos vamos despidiendo.
Ay, ya bella,
comparsita de mis sueños.
Quizás ya bella tenga sueño
del carnaval más sentido.
Ay, ya bella,
carnaval de los llaveños.
Quizás ya bella tenga sueño. Quizás ya bella tenga sueño. Quizás ya bella tenga sueño. Quizás ya bella tenga sueño.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
The 1978 FIFA World Cup was the 11th edition of the tournament. This was the World Cup when Argentina finally broke through and became world champions for the first time. Despite this, it has since become known as one of the most controversial in the competition's history. But what was so contentious about this tournament? How did Argentina become champions? This is the story of the 1978 FIFA World Cup. In retrospect, the choice of host has been heavily criticised. The decision to select Argentina as host was made in 1966. Argentina president Juan Domingo Perón died of natural causes in 1974. The resulting power struggle led to a military coup known as the 1976 Argentine coup d'etat. Military dictator Jorge Rafael Videla seized power and became president. This dictatorship became known as the National Reorganization Process. His reign became infamous due to high human rights abuses and economic mismanagement. In the 2 years leading up to the World Cup, many reporters and journalists raised concerns about the new regime. They reported that thousands of Argentinians had disappeared since Videla became president. French journalists wrote a manifesto, "We should not play soccer amid the concentration camps and torture chambers." A few months before the World Cup, Videla launched a campaign to silence any disapproval of the government. This led many teams and players to consider whether they should play at the World Cup. Johan Cruyff refused to take part. It was long believed this was due to the dictatorship, but he later revealed it was due to an armed robbery of his home, where he and his family were tied up, and he grew disillusioned with football. "I had a rifle at my head. I was tied up. My wife tied up. The children were in the apartment in Barcelona," he said to Radio Catalunya in 2008. West German Paul Breitner is the most known player to refuse to play in the tournament due to the dictatorship. Despite this, FIFA never considered changing the hosts. The FIFA president at the time, João Havelange, was a Brazilian. He took satisfaction that the hosts were South American. He told local press, "I'm among those that most depended on the hard work that your country undertook, and I haven't been disappointed. It fills me with pride. First, from knowing that Argentina responded to the challenge, and second, because I am also South American. We have achieved everything we proposed." On the pitch, Argentina was led by legendary manager César Luis Menotti, who sadly passed away on the 6th of May 2024. He was a charismatic figure who favoured attacking possession-based football. His Argentina team played in a 4-3-3 with a high defensive line, which limited the space for the opposition. In defence, they were led by captain Daniel Passarella, who frequently pushed forward to link up with midfielders Ruben Gallego, Osvaldo Ardiles and Mario Kempes. Up front, Menotti opted for fast and skillful wingers in René Hausmann and Oscar Ortiz. He then played Leopoldo Luque as a centre-forward. Menotti did receive criticism before the tournament for leaving out 17-year-old Diego Maradona from the squad. He explained that he was too young to handle the pressure. Argentina was drawn into a tough group with Hungary, France and Italy. The fixtures were organised so that all of Argentina's games were played in the evening. The other fixture in the group was played in the afternoon. This meant Argentina knew exactly what result they needed before kickoff. FIFA decided this so that it would not affect ticket sales. After Italy beat France 2-1, Argentina played Hungary. The game started fast, with both teams creating chances, but Hungary took a surprise lead after just 9 minutes. Caroli Chapo scored a tap-in after keeper Ubaldo Filol parried a shot into his path. The lead only lasted 5 minutes. Leopoldo Luque tapped the ball in after Hungary keeper Sandor Guiyar failed to catch a free kick. Both teams continued to attack in a competitive game, but it was Argentina who would seal the victory. In the 83rd minute, substitute Daniel Bertoni scored in an empty net after Hungary failed to clear the ball from the box. In their second game, Argentina played France in a highly entertaining encounter. France was led by a young Platini, and they played beautiful attacking football. This led to a first half where both teams had numerous chances to score. But just before half-time, it was Argentina who broke the deadlock. They were awarded a penalty after a handball in the box. Captain Pasarella took responsibility and fired the ball into the bottom right corner. In the second half, France pressed for an equaliser and were rewarded in the 60th minute. Platini fired the ball into an empty net after a shot bounced off the bar. In the 73rd minute, Argentina regained the lead with one of the goals of the tournament. Luque received the ball outside the box, and he chipped it before half-volleying the ball in the top corner. The crowd erupted in cheers as Luque ran with arms outstretched. Despite France's best efforts, the game ended 2-1 for Argentina. Argentina vs Italy was now a match to decide the group winners. Both were on 4 points each, but Italy had a better goal difference. Argentina was the more attacking side, but Italy defended well and limited them to mostly long-range efforts. In the second half, Argentina continued their attacks, but Italy began to counter-attack effectively. It was Italy who would secure the winner in the 67th minute. Roberto Bettega played a nice 1-2 before slotting the ball into the bottom corner. Finishing runners-up arguably worked in their favour. The second round once again featured two groups instead of a knockout format. Argentina was in a group that contained Brazil, Peru, and Poland. This was because both Peru and Poland had surprisingly finished top ahead of the Netherlands and West Germany, respectively. Italy were in a group with the Netherlands, West Germany, and Austria. Argentina games continued to be played in the evenings, which once again meant they knew the result of the other game in the group before kickoff. Their first match was against Poland. The Polish started the stronger of the two sides and had the better chances. Unfortunately, they failed to convert them into goals. Argentina made them pay as they scored after 15 minutes with their first clear chance. Mario Kempes met a cross and headed the ball into the near post. In the 37th minute, Kempes stopped a certain goal by Poland by diving and using his hand to save the ball. Kempes was not sent off and the Polish penalty was saved. Another point of contention came in the 70th minute when Poland made strong appeals for a penalty that was waved away by the ref. Kempes sealed a 2-0 win a minute later. He received the ball just inside the box and he dropped a shoulder to get past a defender before slotting the ball into the bottom corner. In the second game, Argentina played arch-rivals Brazil. The match would become known as the Battle of Rosario. The game was marred by repeated fouls throughout the game. Both teams were more concerned with stopping the opposition rather than focusing on scoring themselves. The game would end goalless, meaning both teams went into the final game with 3 points. What followed in the third round of games is one of the most controversial in the history of football. Brazil played their final game with Poland earlier and won 3-1. This meant they had a commanding lead in goal difference plus a 2-point advantage. Argentina went into their game knowing they needed to win. But not just win, they needed to win by at least 4 goals to make it to the final. This Peru side was a good team. They had won the 1975 Copa America, so beating them by at least 4 goals was a considerable challenge. Incredibly, before kickoff, Argentina President Videla and former American Secretary of State Henry Kissinger visited the Peru locker room and spoke to the players. This is fact, but what happens next is heavily debated to this day. Some claim that Videla read a message from Peruvian dictator Francisco Morales Bermudez expressing the brotherhood between Peru and Argentina, but nothing else. Others are convinced that Peru players were threatened and were told to throw the match. Despite this, Peru started the game well. They had most of the chances and even hit the post. However, Kempes opened the scoring in the 21st minute, and from there, Argentina were on top. Peru completely collapsed between 43 and 67 minutes, as Argentina scored five more times as they romped home 6-0. Kempes and Luque both scored twice. Argentina was in the final, and Brazil were out despite being undefeated. Brazilians were furious. Their coach Claudio Coutinho dubbed Brazil moral champions as they beat Italy to secure third place at the World Cup. Peru player Juan Carlos Oblitas later said of Videla's presence, "His presence in the dressing room was terrible. Some of the younger players stopped changing to listen to him." Hector Chumpitas also said, "He stood in front of us and gave a speech on what he called Latin American brotherhood and wished us luck. Videla was frightening." The final was held on the 25th of June at the Estadio Monumental in Buenos Aires. The Netherlands were once again in the final after losing in 1974. The start saw more controversy as the Dutch accused Argentina of stalling tactics. Their team bus took a long and unexpected detour before reaching the stadium, and the Dutch then had to wait 5 minutes on the pitch before Argentina finally came out for kickoff. The Argentina players then questioned the legitimacy of a wrist cast worn by René van der Kerkhoff, despite wearing it in previous games. The Dutch threatened to walk off, but Italian ref Sergio Gonella gave in to the complaints, and René was forced to apply more bandage around it. Once the match finally kicked off, fouls and aggressive play riddled it. Both teams broke up play by committing fouls. The Netherlands had the best chance of the opening half an hour, but missed with a free header. They had another great chance, but keeper Ubaldo Filho made a fine save. Argentina made them pay when Kempes received the ball, drove into the box, and scored with a low show after 38 minutes. Filho pulled off another fantastic save before halftime when he stopped a shot from close range with his foot. In the second half, the Netherlands pushed for an equaliser and created more chances. Argentina played primarily on the break and had opportunities to extend their lead. In the 82nd minute, Nanninga finally converted for the Dutch as he headed in powerfully from across to level the game. In the final minutes, one of the great what-if moments of Dutch football occurred. A long ball found Rob Rensenbrink, who took a shot from close range but hit the post. The final was going into extra time. The game continued to be end-to-end in extra time, but it was Kempes once again who scored in the 105th minute. He dribbled past two defenders in the box before taking a shot that the keeper saved, but bounced off Kempes' knee, then scrambled it into the goal. The Dutch pushed for the equaliser, but Argentina effectively exploited the extra space and counter-attacked. In the 115th minute, Bertoni sealed the win after the ball fell to him in the box and he fired it into the bottom corner. Argentina was finally the world champions. The win triggered incredible celebrations and created one of the most iconic photos in Argentinian history. Argentina players Tarantini and Filol collapsed to their knees, and an Argentinian fan with no arms joined them as the three hugged each other on the pitch. A moment referred to as the soul hug. For Videla, it was mission accomplished. He had showcased Argentinian superiority on a global stage. But this World Cup would be forever marred in controversy. During this regime, over 30,000 Argentinians disappeared. Notable stats from the tournament include 102 goals were scored in 38 matches, an average of 2.68 per match. The average attendance for the tournament was 40,679 per match. Argentina and the Netherlands were top scorers with 15 goals each. Argentina conceded 4 goals. Mario Kempes was the top scorer with 6 goals. Brazil was the only undefeated team. Thank you.
And with that piece that is available on the YouTube channel, The Sports Files, they do great documentaries about football and about World Cups. We just shared this one on the 1978 World Cup. Check it out, because it comes with images as well. We mark the end of today's program of RAE in English for Tuesday, January 2026. Too many 20s there. Walter Danesi was our sound technician for today. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Hasta mañana.